Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Daytime talk shows, magazines, and self-help books are full of articles about self-affirmation. Oprah says to live your best life, while New York Times bestselling author Marianne Williamson tells us we are all meant to shine. However, self-affirmation is just one of the many threads of conversation going on inside our heads. Psychologists refer to one aspect of this inner dialogue as self-talk. When you observe, evaluate, and judge what you're doing as you're doing it, those opinions of yourself are self-talk.
Self-talk can be positive, congratulating yourself on a job well done, or negative, criticizing yourself for a stupid comment. Over time, if your self-talk is primarily destructive, it can lead to clinical depression and other physical symptoms. Joining us for a look at self-talk and how you can shift your inner dialogue from destructive to constructive is Linnea Duval, a marriage and family therapist based in Santa Monica, California. Welcome to Take Care. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Some people can really be hard on themselves, while others forgive themselves much more easily and are able to move on. Why do you think some people dwell on their mistakes or shortcomings throughout the day and practice negative self-talk, and others not at all? They just move on and they're fine.
You know, it's an amazingly simple answer. It's trained, learned behavior. And they most likely, any of us, learned that negative talk when we were children in our families. I have in my therapy office when clients come in, where they sit, the wall that they view, I have two signs up there. One says family, and it, you know, they're rustic, charming, quaint signs, family. And then the other one says, it's all about family. And when they get going on, why do I do this? What is this thing that, why does it make me do this? What is that about? I just point up to the wall and they say, oh, yeah, okay, I remember. So it's learned behavior from childhood often. And by the time we're adults, we don't even know it's behavior anymore. We're not even aware of the negative thoughts we have. They're just the ground floor we walk on. They are just the what is. This is what is about my life.
That makes sense. And it might be something like one of your parents or a sibling, if you're late a few times, and then it just gets to be known in the family that you're the late one. Again, you're late. And then you're saying you internalize that. And when you find you're an adult and you're working and going out to social occasions, if you're late, there's a voice in your head saying, well, I'm late again. And it's a familiar feeling. So how important is it in the process to figure out where the self-criticism comes from? Do you work with your clients to have them identify where that negative voice is deep within them? Or can you just do it behaviorally and just start making yourself aware that you're doing it and switch it, whether you know the origin or not?
That is such a wonderful question, because the answer is yes to both. I work very deeply with my clients to find the source of this. But while we are delving in and looking for the source, changing their thoughts immediately just because is part of the search. Because as you change your thoughts and you really start to, with a great deal of self-love and discipline, really start to pay attention to what you say to yourself during the day and shift it and take on new self-affirmations, the negative voices, they're trained to be there. They're trained to be there as if they are a protector. It was learned behavior to survive within your home. So those negative voices start jumping up and saying, hey, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't talk that way. We talk this way. And it becomes easier as you directly interrupt those thoughts. It becomes easier to then delve down and find the source, because they start rising up and you hear them more clearly.
So what do? Are you literally saying you hear a voice inside your head and you say, oh, shut that down? Or do you replace it with a positive voice? Or is it a multi-step process?
It's a multi-step process. You first of all start by just giving yourself a positive voice. Depending on how, you know, some of us know what we say to ourselves. Some of us are very aware of the negative voice or the negative tendency we have and what our thread of negativity about ourselves is. Some people don't. And so starting with, I am strong, I am secure, I am powerful, something that simple, can start making you aware of the negative attitudes you have about yourself that are just sort of, again, the ground floor you walk on. The negative attitudes will start becoming more clear to hear yourself.
So what's the biggest difference between, as I mentioned at the top, the whole self-affirmation thing? I mean, I've been in people's homes where they've put post-it notes on the refrigerator, on the bathroom mirror saying, you know, you are strong, you are beautiful, you are wonderful. But how is self-affirmation different from self-talk?
Self-affirmation directly impacts the brain. Let's use the best example that I love because it's such science. Our brain is what every computer on the planet has been based on. And when you look at a computer, it's programmed to do certain things. And when there's something wrong with your computer, you have to delve down into the code. Or, for example, I'm launching a website, and the code is what will make the website operate the way we want. If it's not doing something in one of the programs, we have to go find the code. But wanting a program to operate a certain way will define what code you must have. And if the program isn't working the way you want, then you have to go find the code. So when you go to change a program or say, okay, now, the difference between a self-affirmation is you're working to interrupt an already coded program and shift it to a new one. And self-talk is what goes on kind of by rote behavior all day. And we often don't even hear it. You know, people say we only use a third of our brain. Well, I have a hypothesis that we actually do use that other two-thirds, but we use it in a way that's not empowering us many times because that story of who we are has already been laid down.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking to Linnea Duval about self-talk, positive and negative. And I want to talk about how this impacts one's life. So you're saying, and I think it's a really good metaphor about the computer, what you're kind of programmed for as you go into the world based on many times and most times, as you mentioned in your practice, what went on in your family. You might pick up negative things about yourself, maybe criticisms from a parent or a sibling, and you kind of internalize that and carry it with you. And the key here, I think, for people listening is if they identify with that, realizing that it does have an impact on their everyday life, their emotional state or their self-esteem, it can even change brain chemistry, what can they do to begin to change it? I know we've alluded to some of that, but what simple steps, and I know it's not so simple, can we start doing if we want to see if we can change this on our own?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that we are all saying, and they really are simple steps. I appreciate that we're all saying simple steps. However, sometimes the most simple things are difficult, but the continuation and the discipline of practicing them at all times is what makes the simple steps very important. And it's everything from, as you know, I appreciate also that you said exercise, because that is one thing, without a doubt, helps turn around and shift brain chemistry and the stress on yourself. And exercise, as in yoga, tai chi, that type of exercise, because it calms the mind. And often as you're doing yoga or tai chi, those negative thoughts come screaming up in your brain because there's nothing else to distract you. And you know how in yoga they talk to you about pay attention to where your thoughts go and then bring them back to the center. So there's that. There's meditation. All of those are things that you can do on an everyday basis at a yoga practice or a tai chi instructor or something like that. But on an everyday basis, just you alone with you. I had a client one time who said, I'm not going to do affirmations. And 3 years later, that client is saying, okay, so what affirmations should I be saying for this now? It's that simple. Self-talk and affirmations of I am powerful, I am safe, I am secure. Or find the exact thing that was said to you when you were a child. I certainly know one of the things I work all the time is I'm allowed. I'm allowed to have this. Because I was raised in a pretty restrictive family, and there was many things we were not allowed to do or have. So for many years, I had to repeat on a daily basis, very often, it's okay, I'm allowed to do this. I am worthy of this. But find and pick a really empowering phrase. And it can be everything from the most powerful one and the most simple one, I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And from there, it is, therefore, I care for myself well. Or I love myself, so I eat well. Surround it around what you are dealing with in your life. I love myself, therefore, I exercise. And you speak it as a present, this is what I do. Not, well, I love myself, so I will exercise. Say it in the present right now. I love myself, therefore I exercise. It may be a bald-faced untruth that that's not at all true about yourself and your life, but that's the only way you change a program is to completely rewrite the code.
In other words, fake it till you make it. I hate to put you on the spot, but oftentimes, you know, if somebody says, well, if you quit smoking in 3 days, this will happen, in 5 days, in a week, in a month. If we are mindful that there is negative self-talk going on in our heads, we find it, we stop it, we cut it off, and we replace it with positive thoughts about ourselves, how long is this going to take us? Don't say a lifetime.
Million-dollar question.
Yeah, million-dollar question. Honestly, I want to be really fair and clear about this. It depends on each person. And it honestly, the scientists that I sit with, we talk clearly about how it truly depends on the level of damage and stress and input you have sustained. So one of the questions that gets asked of someone who comes in with very high stress that is impacting them physically, like gastrointestinal disorders, sleep patterns disturbed, skin rashes, all of that that's coming from an emotional-based stress, we say, did you have a happy childhood? And there's no way around that. It really depends on each person. And to a certain degree, it depends on your level of willingness and your level of discipline and your level of self-love. It can take anywhere from, you know, it flat out is told to us many times that it takes at least 21 days to begin to change a habit. So let's just start with the basis of 21 days. For 21 days, you absolutely require yourself to say the positive affirmation you choose for yourself 3 times a day. First thing when you wake up, at your lunch break, and before you go to bed, you say this positive affirmation out loud to yourself. And then you say it as many other times during the day as you think of it or possibly can bring it in. And then start from 21 days. In 21 days, most everyone starts to see some imperceptible little shift. Almost imperceptible. But from there, it can take a lifetime in that when you first start, you're going to need to do it 3 to 5 to 8 times a day, sometimes all day. And then as it changes, you need to do it less and less because it becomes the new pattern. It becomes the new talk. It becomes the new self-support you're giving yourself and self-care. But at the end of the day, Linda, you and I have discussed this at a seminar we were both at. Whatever is your Achilles heel, whatever is your place where you're really negative about yourself, that is the place you will always have to deal with for the rest of your life. So if your tendency is to say, I'm just an idiot, or I'm stupid, or I always am late, that's what's going to come up in your highest moments of stress. So it never completely goes away because it got laid down as a blueprint when we were children. But you certainly can manage it and minimize that negative talk and minimize how often it raises its head and minimize dramatically how much it runs your life.
Linnea Duvall is a marriage and family therapist based in Santa Monica, California. Thank you so much for your expertise, Linnea.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for asking.